Mark chapter 15. We have been studying the Gospel of Mark for a long time now, and now we're in chapter 15, getting close to the end of the book. Of course, Mark has 16 chapters, so now we're in chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. And straight away in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders, the scribes, and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away, and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him who ye call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Why don't we stop at this place here and pray? Heavenly Father, help me now. This is a very difficult portion of Scripture to preach about, how our Lord was turned over to Pontius Pilate to be crucified. But help me do my best to expound the Word of God this evening. Just speak to our hearts tonight. May the Spirit of God work in the midst of our congregation tonight. And may the Spirit of God lead me and guide my tongue and my words and my thoughts. Have your way in the service. If there's anybody here that's not saved, we pray you'll save them even tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. After deciding that our Lord was guilty of blasphemy, and we see that in chapter 14, verse 64, previous chapter, verse 64, the high priest said, "Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. So they had a religious council, and the chief priests, who we see again in our text tonight in chapter 15, but we'll get to that later. But here in chapter 14, they had a religious council, and the chief priests decided that he was guilty of blasphemy, and they all, meaning all the religious leaders, condemned him to be guilty of death. So after making this decision, the chief priests, along with the elders and scribes and the whole council, bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to a man called Pontius Pilate. And we see that in our text tonight in chapter 15, verse 1. Now, why did these Jewish religious leaders deliver Jesus to this man called Pontius Pilate? Well, they brought him to Pontius Pilate because the Jews did not have the power to execute Jesus. Only the Roman government had that authority. So even though they condemned him and gave him the death sentence at their council, they did not have the ability, the authority, the power to carry it out. For that, they had to turn him over to the Roman government. And Pontius Pilate, at that time, was the governor of Judea, the Roman governor of Judea. Keep your place here, but please turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. We'll get back to Mark in a minute. Just turn a few pages, if you will, to Luke 3 and verse 1. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Now notice in this verse, chapter 3, verse 1, at the time Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea. So first they had their religious trial. First they conducted their religious trial. And then after the conclusion of the religious trial, they delivered our Lord to Pontius Pilate for the civil trial. Now, the story of Pontius Pilate is found in all four of the Gospels. You can read about this story about Pontius Pilate in Matthew chapter 27, Luke chapter 23, and John chapter 19, as well as our text tonight in Mark chapter 15. Pontius Pilate is also referred to three times in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 13, Acts chapter 4, verse 27, and Acts chapter 13, verse 28. He's also referred to in Paul's first epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 13. We do not have time to read all those passages tonight, but if you want to do some further studying, you can look them up. Many of us are familiar with the so-called Apostles' Creed, that Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 13, Peter reminds us that Pontius Pilate was determined to let him go. Now think about that. You can see that in our text tonight in Mark 15. And you can see that in Matthew 27, and Luke 23, and John 19. And in Acts 3:13, it says Pontius Pilate was determined to let our Lord go. But yet he didn't release him. He did not let him go. In fact, he let Barabbas go instead. Why? Well, the problem was Pilate was a weak and worldly politician. And so he gave in to the Jewish leaders. They demanded that Christ die. And so he yielded to the mob, the angry mob that was demanding Christ's death. From what we can gather from the Bible and from secular history, Pontius Pilate was rich and he was corrupt, he was proud, he was worldly minded, he was selfish, and obviously more concerned with his own career and his own comfort than with justice. We know from secular history that he was appointed governor of Judea by Tiberius Caesar in 26 A.D. And he held that position until 37 A.D. The details of his death are not clear, but from various accounts, he apparently committed suicide. In Luke chapter 13, we're told that Pontius Pilate slaughtered some Galileans while they were offering their sacrifices in the temple. Look at that for a moment, please. Luke 13 and verse 1. Luke chapter 13 and verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So apparently Pilate was a very bloody man, a violent man. And verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, Pilate had nothing but contempt for the Jews. This comes through loud and clear in some of the various passages. Look, for example, at John 18. John chapter 18 and verse 34. John chapter 18 and verse 34. John 18 and verse 34. Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Verse 35. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Notice the way Pilate answered our Lord. Am I a Jew? He had no respect for the Jewish people. It is evident, though, that he did have respect, some respect, and admiration for our Lord. Look at John 18, verse 38. John 18, 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Boy, that's some question, huh? We'll get back to that later. But let's think about that. Pontius Pilate is standing before the man who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, What is truth? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again. Notice he went out without waiting for a response. He asked the question, but he didn't give Jesus time to answer the question. What is truth? As if he really didn't want to know the truth. I don't think he really cared to hear the answer for that question. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now think about that. He found no fault in Jesus, but yet he was willing to sentence him to death. Willing to scourge him, whip him, beat him, and turn him over to an angry mob to be nailed to a cross and crucified. Even though he admitted, I find no fault in him at all. And then look at chapter 19, verse 4. Chapter 19, John 19, verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Now you think about that statement. Pilate saying to the angry mob, Take ye him and crucify him. Take him! Nail him to a cross! Drive big stakes, big spikes through his hands and feet, but I find no fault in him. Isn't that amazing? That a man can admit he finds no fault in him, he's innocent, and he's going to turn him over to be crucified. Look also at Luke 23, verse 4, please. Luke 23 and verse 4. Luke 23, 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. When studying the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, this one fact becomes clear. Pontius Pilate was distracted and torn between two conflicting feelings. A fear of offending the Jews, which may have led to an insurrection, and a conscious conviction that the Lord was innocent. And he was torn between these two opposing viewpoints. But being a typical politician and a weak and cowardly man and destitute of any fixed principles and being interested only in himself and his own welfare, he yielded to the bloodthirsty mob and had our Lord innocent, our Lord crucified, even though he believed he was innocent. He said over and over again, I find no fault in him. So ended Pilate's part in the greatest crime which has ever been committed since the world began. Now that was my lengthy introduction. My first point I want to mention tonight, which I've already touched upon, but I want to spend some more time with it, was Pontius Pilate was confronted with the truth. Going back to our text in Mark chapter 15, verse 1, Mark chapter 15, verse 1, we see that in the morning, first thing in the morning, straight away in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes. Now, chief priests, elders, and scribes, that would mean all of the religious leaders and the whole council. They bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. As I said earlier, This means the religious trial was now concluded. Now they were bringing him to the civil authorities, the Roman authorities, for the civil trial. And then verse 2, and Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. Or as you would say in modern lingo, you say it. You see? There we have it. He was confronted with the truth. Now our Lord said in John 18 verse 36, he explained to Pontius Pilate in John 18, 36, that his kingdom is not of this world. But all Pontius Pilate could comprehend was this world. I know a lot of people like that. You probably do too. All they know is this world. They can't imagine anything outside of this world, you see. But Jesus said, my kingdom is out of this world, you see. And that was a problem. Now, only John, by the way, records that conversation. Let's look at it real quickly. John chapter 18. I said this time and time again. When you're studying the Gospels, it's good to compare Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One might leave out information, the other may hold, and so on. None has all the complete counts. In this case, John has information that Mark does not have, nor the others. John 18, 36. John 18, 36. Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him. That's an amazing conversation. As I said, you only read this in John's gospel. He said, every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. But Pilate could not hear the voice of Christ, even though they were talking to each other, because Pilate didn't want to know the truth. And then he tried to walk away and said, I'm turning them over to you. Do what you want, but I find no fault in it. Now, Pilate said to the Jews in John chapter 19 and verse 15, John 19, 15, shall I crucify your king? But the problem was, he said, shall I crucify your king? Pilate was not willing to make Jesus his king. You see? Pilate could not appreciate or see any benefits in submitting to Christ. He could see the obvious advantages to submitting to Caesar. You see, that would further his career. That would make him more wealthier. But what advantage could he have to accepting Christ as his king? Look at John 19 and verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour. And Pilate here is talking. He said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, you're thinking about that. Now, here we have the contrast. Caesar, the earthly king, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Pilate, of course, he cast his lot with Caesar. He did not want to line up on the Lord's side. Now, in John's account, we see in John 18:38, we just read it, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Like most men in that kind of position, Pilate had a problem discerning the truth. Lord Bacon said, what is truth? Said jesting Pilate, and waited not for an answer. Pilate did not really want to know the answer. And unfortunately, most people today do not really want to know what is true. It's sad, but I think that's true. I think most people today are really not interested in the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, when I say most people do not really want to know the truth, I am not trying to overgeneralize or exaggerate. I think that is a fact. And I'll just give you one example. I was reading the newspaper the other day, just glancing through the newspaper. I heard there's a movie out now called Eat, Pray, Love. Well, I like to eat. I like to pray. I like to love, but not the way this movie deals with it, apparently. Julia Roberts is the actress who stars in this movie, and believe it or not, she converted to Hinduism while making this movie. Can you imagine that? Here's a woman, she claims she was a Baptist, grew up a Baptist, and now she's becoming a Hindu after making a silly Hollywood movie. Do you think she's really interested in the truth? Do you think she's taking the time to compare the Bible with the teachings of Hinduism? I don't think so. That's just one example. Of course, we can give many others. All you got to do is look through the newspapers, see what's going on in the world. You don't have to read the papers. Just talk to some of your coworkers. Talk to some of your neighbors. Yay, some of your relatives. Most people are not interested in the truth. Julia Roberts says she and her family are now worshiping idols at a Hindu temple. Imagine that. She's bringing her little kids to a Hindu temple and having them bow down and pray to statues and idols. And by the way, this is happening today all over America now. People converting to Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, Scientology, weird religions, cults. People today are so shallow and so foolish and so ignorant of the Bible that they can be brainwashed into joining a false religion just by some stupid Hollywood movie. Imagine that? Or by listening to a rock group. I'm old enough to remember when the Beatles were popular, and the Beatles promoted transcendental meditation and Hare Krishna and Hinduism, and many young people got caught up in that because the Beatles were true. And I give many examples as well that you probably can think of some too. Listen, people today don't want the truth, and Pontius Pilate was confronted with the truth, but Pontius Pilate turned away from the truth. Turned his back on the truth. Another thing about Pontius Pilate that we see in our text, Pilate knew that the Jewish leaders were wrong, but he still went along with them. That tells a lot about Pilate. He knew they were wrong. Look at Mark 15. Look at our text tonight. Mark 15 and verse 10. For he knew, Pilate knew, that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He knew that the religious leaders were envious of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew their motives were all wrong. And yet he still went along with them and turned Christ over to them to be crucified. He had the power to save our Lord's life. He had the power to say, not only do I find no fault in him, but I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe he is sent from God. He could have said that, but no, he didn't do that. He went along with the angry mob. You know, Romans chapter 1 and verse 29 describes the depravity of man. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 29. And notice right in the middle of that verse, full of envy. And what does Mark 15, verse 10 say? For he knew, Pontius Pilate knew, that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Envy's always been a big problem. Why did Joseph's brothers turn him over? Sell him into slavery. They wanted to kill him at first, and then they decided, well, we'll just sell him as a slave. They threw him in that big pit. Why? They're envious. They knew Jacob loved Joseph, and they were envious of him. Envy. Pilate knew that the chief priests had delivered Christ for envy. Pontius Pilate knew that the Jews were wrong to demand the release of Barabbas. And by the way, Barabbas, we're told in verse 7, was a murderer. They wanted a murderer released and set free. And they wanted the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the Messiah. They wanted him crucified. And Pilate went along with it. Well, in Luke 23, verse 4, we read, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. In Luke 23:14, I have found no fault in this man. In John 18:38, I find in him no fault at all. In John 19:4, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate knew that the Jewish leaders were wrong, that they would want Christ crucified because of envy. He admittedly found no fault in Christ, but he still turned Christ over to them to be crucified. In John chapter 19, in verse 6, we read these terrible words. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. In Luke's account, in chapter 23, in verses 6 to 12, the others do not mention this. Matthew, Mark, and John don't mention this. But in Luke 23, we read that Pontius Pilate tried to avoid this problem by sending our Lord over to Herod. Now, that's a little interesting story. This is the same Herod who killed John the Baptist. Our Lord referred to that Herod as a fox in Luke 13, verse 32. Now, Pilate was your typical politician. He's thinking, well, if Herod condemns Jesus, then I'll just follow Herod and I'll condemn Jesus. If Herod decides to free Jesus, I'll back up Herod and go along with what Herod decides to do. I'll just do what Herod wants to do. And there's a lot of people like that, right? They won't take a stand. What are you going to do? I'll see what you're going to do and then I'll do it. You see, Herod, he tried to pass it on to Herod. Now, there are many people like that, by the way. I'll do what my friends do. And by the way, I believe there's a lot of people in hell right now because they came to a meeting like this, an invitation was given, and they said to their friend, I'm thinking of going forward to get saved. No, not me. Okay, I won't either. You see? They follow their friends. They're afraid of their friends. They'll do what their friends are going to do. Oh, how many people are in hell right now? How many people are in jail right now because they follow their friends? Yeah? Listen, be careful of following the crowd. The crowd is not always right. In fact, the crowd is usually wrong. Now, Pilate was going to let Herod make his decision for him. People would like to do whatever is convenient. People want to do whatever is expedient. People want to do whatever is popular. But beloved, we're supposed to do what is right. It might necessarily be popular. It might necessarily be expedient. It might necessarily be convenient. But let's do what is right. Pontius Pilate did not do what was right. He did what was expedient. He did what was convenient, you see. In Mark 15:12. Look at Mark 15:12. In Mark 15:12, Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? That's a good question. What shall I do then with Jesus? Is how Matthew puts it in Matthew 27, verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus? People have been ignoring that question for 2,000 years. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do? A lot of folks like to just kind of avoid the issue. Not do anything about it. You can't. You can't be neutral when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be sitting on a fence. when it comes to something like this. I guess everybody's talking now about this mosque issue, right? You hear about it all the time now. Some people are adamantly opposed to it. I'm on that side, by the way. Okay? Then there are some who are all for it, like Mayor Bloomberg. But then there's some like, well, I don't know. I'm for it, I'm against it. They won't take a stand on it, you see? Now, that's okay if you're a regular citizen. You don't have to have an opinion on that. You can just say, well, I'm not sure what I stand on that. But leadership demands you take a position on it, amen? This is a big issue. 2 blocks away from where 3,000 Americans were killed by Muslim terrorists, should Muslims build a mosque 2 blocks away, plant their flag there and say, ha-ha, we defeated you on September 11th, and now we're planting our flag here. The poor should put some salt in a wound, so to speak. Huh? Should they be allowed to do that? No. Some people say, well, what are you going to say? What's your position on that? You see? And some waffle back and forth, you see? I think it's great they should do it. The next study when they get there, oh, no, I didn't say that. And some people are like that when it comes to Jesus. That's the way Pontius Pilate is. Found no fault in Jesus, was determined to let him go, but yet he just wouldn't do it. He compromised. He gave in to the mob. He waited to see what Herod was going to do. He just couldn't take the right stand and do what was right. If there's anyone in this room tonight that's not saved, let me encourage you to take a stand and do what's right. Amen? Don't procrastinate. Don't vacillate. Don't be like Pontius Pilate. And maybe there's some here tonight that are saved, but you've been vacillating on certain things. Don't. Just take a stand for God. Amen? Do the right thing. Now, the last thing I want to look at tonight before we conclude. Pontius Pilate sinned against his own conscience. That's an amazing thing. You know, even somebody who doesn't go to church, even someone who doesn't read the Bible, even someone who doesn't come from a Christian home, still has a conscience. I heard a preacher say one time, the best preacher around is your conscience. There's some truth to that. Even Pontius Pilate had a conscience. And he sinned against his own conscience. Look at Mark 15:15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, that's the problem right there, willing to content the people. Beloved, we should not be willing to content the people, we should be willing to obey God. Amen? Willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. Now, Pilate sinned against his own conscience. Even sinners, lost sinners like Pontius Pilate have a conscience, which instinctively tells them right from wrong. Pilate was warned by his own conscience. But Pontius Pilate tried to soothe his conscience by washing his hands with water. That always amazed me. Even when I was a little boy, I didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't go to a Baptist church. I seldom read the Bible. My mom and dad were Roman Catholic. But even as a boy, I was familiar with the story of Pontius Pilate. And the idea of him washing his hands to try to soothe his conscience always amazed me. Even as a little boy, that kind of struck me. Now look at that tonight. Mark doesn't record that, but look at Matthew 27. Again, I want to remind you that if you're studying the Bible and you're reading the four Gospels, it's good to read them all together, because sometimes you'll miss something if you don't compare Scripture with Scripture. And this time, Matthew tells us this. Matthew 27, verse 24. Matthew 27, 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, meaning the mob was getting angrier, the mob was getting more boisterous, louder, a tumult was being made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Well, those words make the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, I tell you what. Now, he said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. And he tried to wash his hands as if that would wash away all his guilt, his complicity in the greatest crime that was ever committed. Now, Pontius Pilate tried to soothe his conscience by washing his hands with water. Mark doesn't tell us that, not in his Luke or John, only Matthew. And beloved, all the water in the world could not clean Pontius Pilate's hand. Amen? He could go wash his hands in the Jordan River, and he can go wash his hands in the Mediterranean Sea, and he can wash his hands in the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. All the water in the world couldn't cleanse Pontius Pilate's hands. All the water in the world couldn't do that. He was mistaken if he thought he could wash it off like that, that easily. I guess one of my favorite Shakespeare plays is Macbeth. In Shakespeare's great tragedy, Macbeth, Lady Macbeth says, "What? Will these hands there be clean?" And then she says, "Here's the smell of the blood spilled. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand." And then referring to the terrible murders of Duncan and Banquo, she says, "What's done cannot be undone." And so it was with Pontius Pilate. What's done cannot be undone. Harry Ironside preached a sermon entitled, "How Pontius Pilate Lost His Soul." And Ironside said, "All his life long he had the memory of this miscarriage of judgment resting in his mind and on his life." As I said earlier, we're told by historians that Pontius Pilate committed suicide. I think probably those remaining years, those last 10 years, whatever, before he died, that was on his mind. How he turned an innocent man over to be crucified. And how he tried to wash his hands, but even washing the hands didn't help any. Didn't help. Didn't soothe his conscience. Didn't take that memory away. Now, only Matthew tells us that Pontius Pilate tried to soothe his conscience by washing his hands with water. And only Matthew tells us about the wife of Pontius Pilate. Mark doesn't tell us about Mrs. Pilate, and neither does Luke or John. Pilate was warned by God through his wife. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. Matthew 27, verse 19. In verse 18, we read the scripture we saw before. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And then verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Notice, Pontius Pilate's wife was disturbed all day about this dream she had the night before. She had a dream about Jesus. She knew he was a just man. She knew he was innocent. She knew the mob was wrong about Jesus. And she said in verse 19, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." In other words, don't be part of this crime. Don't turn him over to the mob. Don't release Barabbas and don't set Barabbas free and then give Jesus to the mob to be crucified. "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." It was all day long this dream was bothering her, disturbing her tranquility, driving her to distraction. So she sent a message to her husband. A warning! A warning. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us any of the details about the dream. It must have been, apparently, it must have been a very frightening dream, what we would call a nightmare. Perhaps she saw our Lord being nailed to the cross. Maybe she had that. It was in a dream, seeing Jesus crucified. Saw those huge nails being driven through his hands and through his feet. Perhaps she woke up in a panic after seeing that. Frightened, crying, grief-stricken. Because she told her husband, "I suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." It must have been a very frightening dream. Perhaps she saw the situation reversed. Instead of Pontius Pilate sitting on the judgment seat, it was the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the judgment seat. Maybe the situation was reversed. Maybe instead of our Lord standing there being judged, it was her husband, Pilate, being judged. by the Lord. Perhaps you saw a husband being cast off into hell where all the other lost sinners with Herod and Caesar and all of the Roman leaders who scorned the Lord Jesus and laughed at the things of God, all are being cast off into hell. Maybe she heard his horrible screaming and weeping and wailing in hell, and that woke her up, frightened. The Bible doesn't tell us. We have many things to discover when we get to heaven, amen? You can ask around. Maybe Mrs. Pye will be in heaven. Maybe she got saved. Maybe we'll see her in heaven and say, what was that dream you had? We'll find out when we get there, amen? Aren't you glad you have some things to look forward to? Oh, yeah. But instead of listening to Jesus, instead of listening to his conscience, and instead of listening to his wife, Pontius Pilate listened to the angry mob. Sometimes the loudest voices are the ones that get our attention. Instead of listening to that still small voice of God warning him, or his wife warning him, and Jesus standing right in front of him, truth incarnate, what is truth? And there is truth right in front of him. Instead of that, he listens to the angry mob, the howling mob, demanding that Jesus be crucified. And again, look at Mark, our text tonight. Mark 15, verse 13. And they cried out again, crucify him! And then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him! And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. Let's pray. Heavenly